Welcome to the Elevated Visibility Podcast, the podcast for female founders who are looking for more than just easy marketing tips and feel-good strategy and craving deep connection. I'm your host, Nina Gibson, holistic SEO expert and visibility enthusiast who is hell-bent on giving women a voice and a platform to use it. In this space, we chat all things SEO and marketing for your brand and business, but we also peel back the layers and the bullshit and dive deep into what it means to feel visible as business owners, women, moms, and more. If you're ready for holistic marketing strategy mixed in with some soulful storytelling, this podcast is for you. Welcome. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Elevated Visibility Podcast. How are you? We are at episode 18, which I can't even believe we are flying through season one of the podcast, and I have been loving every minute of it. It has been such a transformative experience, and being able to chat with you about so many amazing topics and also bring on some really amazing guests. And today, we have an amazing guest, Lindsay Johnson, aka The Radical Connector. They are a 20-year entrepreneurship nerd and marketing and sales coach who is obsessed with teaching new entrepreneurs simple business skills and feel-good sales strategies for turning their brilliance into a profitable business. I am so excited to have Lindsay on today. Born into a family of entrepreneurs, Lindsay watched as their family worked themselves into the ground and sacrificed their quality of life for the sake of their businesses. They were determined to crack the code to faster growth and more financial abundance with way less work and way more play. Lindsay has turned their years of attraction marketing and consent-based sales experience and their passion for building a magical life outside of work into offerings into a no-fluff system for getting clients and making money the fast, free, and easy way. I'm so excited to have Lindsay on to talk today about so many important topics that I think don't get talked about enough. Ethical-based marketing, consent-based marketing, all these things. This is going to be a really, really juicy conversation, so buckle up.
All right. Hello. So you guys were introduced to the amazing Lindsay, and we're going to have a conversation today that I'm really, really excited about. So welcome. Welcome, Lindsay. Thank you for joining.
Thank you so much. I am really excited to be here.
Good. Yeah, me too. So before we started recording, we were kind of already getting into some juicy topics that we're going to talk about. But before that, I know we gave everybody your bio. But I'd love to hear a little bit more about you and what brought you to where you are now in your entrepreneurial journey and all of that amazing stuff. So fill the listeners in.
I absolutely will. You know, that's always such a complex and deep question, because what brings any of us anywhere? But yeah, you know, I am a nerd for entrepreneurship. What can I say? I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. I grew up around entrepreneurs. I am 1000% unemployable. I've never been in the corporate world, like cannot break out in hives, you know, and there's just something that I just find so magical about entrepreneurship, and especially folks in service-based businesses who are able to take an idea, a skill set, a passion, and monetize it, create this amazing business that changes the world and this amazing lifestyle for themselves. And that just, I mean, it's just, I nerd out to that stuff. But for me, where I come into play is for folks who are, instead of using entrepreneurship as a tool to build an incredible life, they are letting it consume their entire life. They are letting it bleed them dry of time, money, energy, and relationships. And so I want to come in and be like, friends, remember, this is a tool. It shouldn't be your entire life. How do we use it effectively? How do we look at attraction marketing, consent-based sales, having automations and systems so that your business is working for you? You are not at the mercy of your business.
I love that so much. I just got chills. There's that whole like thing, meme, whatever, that goes around Instagram, like, you quit your corporate job to work for yourself and now you're working 24/7, you know, like it's kind of true though. We let it consume us because for lots of different reasons, but I love that. I love that you're a nerd. I am a corporate dropout that I survived corporate barely. So I can completely relate to that. And I love that you were surrounded by entrepreneurship. A lot of people I talk to have said that to me. They're like, my mom or my dad or my uncle or my brother or this aunt or this family friend, they have all these influences. So I love that so much. So you said something in what you just said about consent-based marketing and sales. Let's talk about that a little bit, because that's something new-ish to me, at least in terms of the terminology. So let's talk about that for people who might not be familiar with it and what it means to you and how you're sort of helping entrepreneurs with that.
Yes. So I start with attraction marketing, because marketing and sales go hand in hand, but they are separate entities, right? And so I talk about attraction marketing. This is how we stop trying to convince the wrong people or sort of like cast this really wide net and grab anyone that'll listen. And we really want to focus on attracting the people who are looking for you right now, money in hand. They are looking for someone like you. They're looking for what you've got. So we use attraction marketing principles to make sure that we are talking to the right people about the right things. And then we use that consent-based sales strategy. And this is where I talk about co-creating the sales journey with this person. So there's no manipulation. There's no coercion. There's no high pressure. There's no gimmicks and tricks. There's just, you have a need. I can serve that need. Do you want to do this together? And really co-creating that. And it's consent every step of the way. And the consent piece is all about asking questions. I'm going to keep going a little bit longer if that's okay, because this is a big one.
I want it all. So, I love it.
So a lot of times, especially if somebody is new. So as an entrepreneur, you know, we create a product or a service and we're really excited about this thing. And we have this mindset that is drilled into us, this myth, the build it and they will come myth, right? Everybody has heard that, build it and they will come. And I talk a lot about this because, friends, if you don't know, build it and they will come, that is a quote from a movie, Field of Dreams, about an actor and a character played by Kevin Costner, who builds a field, baseball field, in his like cornfield for the ghost of his father to come play baseball with his dead baseball buddies. Like, cool movie. It's my dad's favorite movie. It's a cool movie. Friends, it is not a business plan. It is not a business strategy. And yet that is what we are taught. And in fact, so many of the courses and the programs and the things that you're all out there taking and doing, it's teaching you the build it and they will come method. Build this course, build this membership, build this product or service, and then they will come. And that's not the case. You have to pull people in and you have to do the sale with them. But where entrepreneurs get stuck is they don't know that. They don't realize that when you started a business, you are now your business's number one salesperson. So if you're not good at sales, you're going to have a hard time. So this consent-based sales strategy, it just takes the pressure off of you to think you have to convince somebody, right? Or like get nervous. It's really just asking questions. Is this something that you would find value? Do you want to talk about working together? Do you want to know how I might work with someone like you? You know, getting that yes or that no, getting the red light or the green light. So then when you get the red light, you know, that's it. You don't have consent to keep going on the sales journey. Send them to your, you know, your Instagram, your Facebook group, your podcast, whatever you want to send them to, right? And if you get the yes, you can continue down that sales journey together. So that's all it is, getting the red light or the green light and making it easier on yourself to sell and much more enjoyable and consent-based for the person you're selling with.
I love that so much. I think that is, it's so simple when you say it like that, but then I see so much of it not happening, I guess I should say, because I see people, and I think a lot of it is well-intentioned. I really do think most people are well-intentioned, but they're like, well, no doesn't really mean no. Because they're on the fence, or maybe they need more information or things like that. And I think that that's something. And of course, there are a lot of people out there, either directly or indirectly, teaching to keep on going for it until you make that sale. And, you know, there are some industries that push that more than others. So I think people understanding it's okay that person isn't going to buy from you. Just, and, you know, they might say no now, but maybe 3 months later, they remember, you know what? I said no, and that person left me alone. And that was a really positive experience. Now I'm ready and I want to work with this person. You know, there's benefits to that too, that I think people don't realize, because it's all about relationships. All about relationships.
1000%. Yes. And this is why, like I said, you send them to, did I cut you off? Did you have more to say on that?
No. I'm here for you. I'm loving everything that you're saying. So no, you go for it.
It's funny, even talking with friends, especially entrepreneur friends. I was just on a hike with another entrepreneur friend on the weekend. And we just, you know, we talk about 20 different things at the same time. Like you just do it. But yes, to that point of, you know, if you don't pressure them, they'll remember how that feels. This is why I said things like send them to your Facebook group, your Instagram, your podcast, whatever. You know, if it's a no, but y'all are vibing, keep the vibe going. Make sure they're on your email list. Make sure that you're sending great content out there. Make sure that you're staying in there, sort of like top of mind, as much as you can. You can't, you know, control that, but as much as you can, make sure that you're putting that information out there so that when they are ready, because yes, this is another thing, you know, this is a mindset that entrepreneurs need to shift around, because a lot of times folks are taught to have like sales goals and you need to sell this many units of this many things, right? And, you know, we start to look at people as dollar signs, or we start to think, well, all I have to do is sell five, you know, like five of these things. Your whole mindset shifts to making money, seeing them as dollar signs, getting people to buy your thing at any cost. And that's where that slippery slope comes in, where now we're getting into not taking no for an answer, right? Handling objections. This is, I teach people, you don't handle objections. You listen to objections and you tweak on the back end. What are the objections? Is it too expensive, right? Is it the wrong? Oh gosh. See, here we go with the threads. I'm going to go down this thread and I'm going to come back to what I said. But you know, if you're getting a lot of no's, like ideally, if you're doing attraction marketing, right, you won't be getting a lot of no's because you'll have the right people in front of you. If you're getting a lot of no's, you need to reevaluate. It means you're either talking to the wrong people, right? You're solving the wrong problem, which means something is wrong with your product or service, right? It's not aligned. It's not what they care about or what they need, right? You're charging the wrong price, whether it's too much or not enough. Right? There's something off with your marketing and that you're attracting in the wrong people. As I said, there is something off with those no's. It means we're not talking to the right person about the right thing. Okay. So we have to take those objections and we have to stop trying to convince or handle them. And we have to look at what we're not getting right and what we need to tweak. Right. And then, yeah. So back to that whole thing about, you know, handling objections, trying to get that sale, no matter what, you have to realize that people are going to buy if and when it's right for them. Mm-hmm. So you can't say like, this is my goal to do these many things and I have to get this many people. You have to understand that somebody might be ready to buy now. Somebody might be ready to buy in 3 months. I have people come back to me years, like literally somebody just joined my accelerator who just said, I've been waiting to work with you for 5 years, but the timing was never right.
Wow.
Okay. So, you know, like people will do it if and when it's right for them. Mm-hmm. So our only job is to make sure we're in front of the right people, talking about the right things, and then nurturing that relationship through content and through your emails until they're ready, right? And I'm going to add one more thing to that, which is that make it easy for them to buy. Do you know how many times people don't talk about what they sell? Right? They talk about it, right? Yes. Or they talk about it in a really aggressive marketing-y way, not in like a real talk, friend-to-friend, you know, way. So make it easy for people to say yes. That's the other thing I want to add on to that long-winded answer.
I love this. This is such amazing information. And I think like, it's, again, it seems really obvious, but then when I'm online and I'm looking and I'm like, oh, you know, and this is stuff for myself that I had to really learn as somebody who spent, you know, almost 10 years in their business working on word of mouth and referral. So, and when I shifted, you know, my business, I was like, oh shit, I need to actually like sell things and get people in, you know, into the door, but doing that in a way that felt really comfortable and aligned. And I've been on a very big journey with that. So this conversation is, I think, so, so needed. So yeah, let's hear the rest of it.
I'm like, what else do you want to know? Actually, that's a really interesting truth. Well, I was going to say with the referrals, right? Like, referrals are so awesome. If you're getting people referring you, I mean, that person is like 95% of the way there by the time you're even talking to them, right? That's the power of good referrals. But I also work with a lot of people who come to me and say, okay, I've gotten this far on referrals. I'm ready to get a little more proactive. What can I start doing to bring in more, right? Or I'm getting so many referrals, I can't handle it. How do I need to shift my business so I can start to scale, not work so dang much, right?
Yep. Yeah, I feel that. I definitely feel, because I do SEO. So a lot of what I do, there's teaching, but a lot of it, there are done for you components to it.
Yep.
Somebody needs keyword research, or they need me to audit their website or things like that. And you know, I really struggled with it because I'm like, I can only do so much, but I really want to be able to help as many people as possible. And for better or for worse, I'm somebody who gives out I don't even know if this is a thing. If somebody asks me a question that I can easily answer, I'm going to answer that question. Even if we have a back and forth about it, I'm going to give them information. I'm going to, you know, somebody asked me, I heard in your podcast, you talked about G4 and I don't really know what that means. I did a 2-minute loom. It's okay. Like, and that for me, you know, comfortable and aligned, but I don't even know where I was going with that. But yeah,
I love it. I have thoughts on this. So keep going. Cause I love where you're going.
Perfect. So, and you know, those people I know are, cause they are in my wheelhouse and maybe they never buy from me or maybe they do. I don't know, but I'm helping. And that for me, cause that's what I feel called to do. So that's aligned. It's not aligned with everybody. That's not everybody's jam. And I'm totally fine with that. But I definitely am in that place right now. I resonate so deeply with this because I'm like, I'm shifting. I hate the word pivot, but I'm going to use it. I'm pivoting. it's just so overused at this point,
right? We're done. This pandemic has murdered that word.
We are done pivoting. I am not pivoting. I'm shifting.
Tweaking, evolving, anything but pivot.
Yeah, pivoting. I'm pirouetting my way over to something else. So I feel it because it is hard to be able to do the things that you know you want to do that serve the people in the way you want to serve them, but also scale and make money. I find myself internally torn over this constantly. So I would love to know what you have, like what your thoughts are.
I love that. This is such a great topic. Thank you so much for bringing this up. So many things I want to say. There is this fear. I think that people, I don't know if fear maybe is too strong, but there is this concern people have about giving away the farm, giving away too much, right? And we think we've got to hold back on stuff. And again, my philosophy, and friends, I've been doing this for over 20 years. I have seen, and I grew up around this, and then professionally, I'm doing this for, I've seen it so much. I always tell my clients, I'm like the doctor, like, don't be embarrassed. I've seen it all. Like, get up on the table. Like, you know what I mean? I've seen it all. Do not be embarrassed. But there is this concern when people are first starting out in that if I give away too much, why would people pay me? And the one mindset shift I'd love for y'all to have is that, you know, people, again, are either going to work with you or not. We are attracting the people who are looking for you, money in hand, ready to work with you. So when you hold back, you're not giving people the opportunity to see your brilliance and see how good you are. Right? Mm-hmm. For those that want to work with you, they want to see that. And then there are people who will consume your content who will never work with you. And that's okay too. But by holding back, you are actually shooting yourself in the foot because you're not letting those who want to work with you build that know-like trust and that connection that you can help them get what they want or solve the problem that they're dealing with, right? So I don't want folks to think that they have to hold back on their content. You know, generally when we're talking about content marketing, YouTube, podcasting, blogs, whatever, emails, you know, we tend to stick more high level, more theories and ideas and less on the tactical, the technical, right? And I'm talking specifically for folks who have service-based businesses, you know, because first of all, you start to get way too deep and you're going to burn your own brain out trying to create content that goes that deep, right? You want to get this idea and just really showcase where you can without getting too deep into what you actually do with people. But I still want you to talk about those big ideas. I still want you to talk about like giving people that consume your content that aha moment, right? Yes, right? And then when it comes to things like this 2-minute loom that you send, right? So many service-based businesses it is a passion. Like you don't get to be successful in a service-based business if you are not on fire about what you do, right? Mm-hmm. And so if that lights you up to send a 2-minute loom and send that to somebody, it is your business, friends. Nobody is telling you that you can't do that. If you want to do it because it fires you up, do it, right? And I have this, I actually want to create a piece of content around this because I have this phrase that's been bouncing in my head for a couple of weeks now, maybe 3 or 4 weeks. Impact over income, impact over income. Because I have this, so I mentioned my accelerator earlier. I have this business course and I used to teach it live and it was just brilliant. And I was like, well, let me go into the course model where there's going to be videos and workbooks and we'll just meet for coaching, you know, once a month, but like they'll do the work on their own and I can now scale this thing. And what I found was that people were coming to the coaching and they weren't doing the work. They were not watching the videos in the workbooks. And I didn't really realize that. You know what I mean? And once somebody who had been with me for almost a year asked me a question that was so basic and is like based on the principles of what I teach around marketing and sales, I was like, excuse me? How do you not know this? And it was so funny. I was in Australia at the time and I was just like, fuming, and not at them, but just at the whole idea of mass producing these courses. You know what I mean? And we know like 85% or more of people don't finish or even start courses. My interest, my purpose here around my specific business, I have many purposes, but around my specific business is to teach entrepreneurs how to use their business as a tool for creating the life of their wildest freaking dreams. All right. Mm-hmm. That is why I'm doing this. How do you use entrepreneurship to free yourself and create an amazing life? So what I did was I decided, that's it. I'm scrapping this course. This course isn't working. People aren't doing it. I don't care how many units of this course I sell if entrepreneurs are not getting the impact of the information. And so mm-hmm. I went back into a live teaching mode and I re-upped my accelerator. It's 10 weeks, maximum of 10 people. Right. And the beauty is I can run them concurrently. So, you know, I'm not really limited in how often I can run them, but it just gives me this chance to just like, let's get in there. Let's get our hands dirty. Let's one-on-one, get your strategies, get your action plans, lay out your automations. I do a lot of like online digital marketing, automate, like how do we get this all going? What's your list building funnel? Yep. What's your speaking strategy? And let's do it. And it's just like, I feel so much more lit up about this. Because it's, for me, impact over income. But the really cool thing is that when you start to think impact over income, I want y'all to remember that you can have diversified revenue streams. It's not just the one service you provide. There are so many other potential revenue streams tied to this service and in iterating what that can look like. And then there's other revenue streams beyond that, right? Like a lot of folks that get into going onto YouTube and making YouTube videos related to their service. And then they're getting monetized through YouTube ads. And then they're even getting brand sponsors that's bringing in income, right? Like there's so many other really cool things you can do. And so I always want folks to remember that, you know, play with this concept as I am right now, impact over income. How can I make and have an impact, right? And do what I love to do that's genuinely serving the people I want to serve, not focusing on the income, because friends, there's lots of money to be made in your business, but we need to think about diversification and how we're continuing to make an impact.
I love that so much, because I think, I personally believe when we get so focused on the income piece of it, which is what you're saying, that people feel that. People feel on that vibe, like, well, this person is just seeing me, like you said, as a dollar sign, or they're just trying to fill a course or whatever it is, and the people vibe off of that. And so even if that's not what you're intending to do, if you get so focused on the financial component of it, you're going to turn people off. It's just like a natural thing. And in turn, you're going to feel like shit. It's just like an inevitability, I feel like. And so I love that so much. And for me, that's one of my big things is impact and also accessibility. And this is where I love the idea of diversifying what you're offering. You can have a high ticket offer or service package or whatever it is. And then there are other ways to serve people who might not ever be able to or can't afford right now or whatever it is. And I think that that's something people need to like wrap their head around. And it's okay. It doesn't cheapen your brand or whatever. It's okay to do that. And so I think like this is something that I don't think it's taught. I think it's starting to be taught more, but like I don't hear a ton of people talking about it. And because entrepreneurship, I think, is looked into this like we kind of like want to box it in, right? It's this thing. You're a business owner and you do this thing, you make money and you need, you know, 30K, 50K, 100K months and you need all of these things, but they don't talk about like the personal part of it. Entrepreneurship is personal development. Personal development is entrepreneurship for me. They are so interchangeable, I can't even talk about them separately. And so like, this is just, So I think like, I wish more people would do that and look at it like that because it's so transformative. It's so fucking transformative when you open your eyes and you're like, oh, okay. And you don't have to compromise shit. Like you don't have to compromise your ethos. You don't have to be slimy. And this is something I want to sort of segue into because we talked about this before is
before we segue.
Oh yeah.
I want to say one thing because I want to be very clear for folks listening. I am not against courses. In fact, I am creating a really simple list building course, like how do you set up your list building funnel course. It's a simple, quick course for folks, right? I'm not against courses. I discovered I can't teach marketing and sales skills through a course. So that's, I just kind of put that out there for those that have courses that are impactful. I'm not saying to stop it. Keep going. Remember, if it works, keep doing it. So that's all I wanted to just sort of say that. Now let's talk about it. Bro marketing. Let's dive in.
Perfect. first of all, I would love for you to talk about what bro marketing is, because I think some people are still not sure. It's new. Well, maybe it's not newish, but it's definitely something newer to me in the last couple of years that I've learned about. And then let's just like have a little conversation about it, because I feel like there's some things where I feel really strongly about that a lot of people who I love dearly do. Like, I'm a big fan of the payment plan is going to equal the same price as the ticket, the regular like pay in full. Maybe there's a $15 or $20 difference just to make it make sense with numbers.
Admin, yeah.
And admin, exactly. But I'm a big fan of that. But I brought this up in a conversation with somebody and they were like, I mean, literally, and I get it. Like, of course you ask people to pay more for the payment plan because you want them to pay in full. And I'm like, well, no shit, I want them to pay in full. But if they can't, why would I punish them for that?
Yeah.
So exactly. Let's talk a little bit about
it. Yeah. This is impact over income. This is what I'm saying, yeah. Right?
Yes.
And I actually do the same thing. Unless it is something, I'm literally, listen, the exact same. I've always been like that. I also, oh, there's so many things I want to say. Lindsay, slow your brain down. Okay. So I agree. I sometimes charge a little bit more because there's an admin side, especially if someone's payments aren't going through and I've got to contact them or, you know, my team has to go. So there is an admin-y side. So I will charge sometimes a little bit more, maybe $10 more per payment. Not a ton,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yep. And maybe not even that much, depending on how many payments there are. But, you know, let me track my train of thought, because I just thought of a great example of bro marketing. It's gone. It'll come back around. But, you know, when we talk about bro marketing, we're talking about, again, that oftentimes high pressure, coercive, manipulative, bait and switch. You know, what is it called? Oh, I forget what it's called. Charm pricing. The pricing when you do $297 instead of $300, because like mentally we see the two and we think it's $200. And so we'll price $297 even though it's actually $300, right? Like that's something very early on. I was like, it's going to be $350. It's going to be $2,400. It's going to be like, I like those zeros. I like to just, again, be transparent in my pricing. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's like a gimmick. That's a psychological trick that is played on people, right? It's gross.
It is gross. I know, right? It is, but I do the $297 sometimes because I'm like, ooh, this for that exact reason, you know, like just charge the fucking $300. Like,
right?
It's $3. And if it impacts people's like, but I hadn't even thought about that one. That's a good one.
So again, impact over income, right? So it's one of those things of, you know, again, and I'm not telling anybody what to do or what not to do. If that works for you, that works for you. There is something kind of fun about the $297. I do love that.
Yeah.
It's a fun number to me, but I'll often do $300 or I'll do $250. I'll pick one or the other for me because I understand the manipulative implications of that way of pricing. And I don't want that. And even like, folks, if you go to my website and you go to my About Me, you're going to see my values are right there. And transparency is like right up there. Like, like it is important to me that I am transparent. I will always do my best to, and I do, like, I will tell people, this is where we're at. This is what's going on. This is why, right? You know, I forget. Oh my gosh, this might have been back in the restaurant days. When did I learn this? But we were talking about, like, you need to look at your clients, your consumers and customers as your stakeholders, right? And that's, again, part of that co-creating this journey. Like, they're your stakeholders. And so you need to be communicating transparently with them, right? So, actually, I think it was a Facebook Live I did years ago with somebody where they were talking about how to mitigate risk in your business. And how to handle when like ish hits the fan.
I love it. I mean, that's a big topic. Like, what do you do? I love the idea of looking at people as stakeholders. I think that it's so important because you're not going to get anywhere without them.
Yeah.
So like let's treat them like human beings. Let's treat people like human beings, you know? And I think, and that all comes back to your impact over income. Right. And I think like there are some things that I see or that call get for like people that I follow that get called out on. And I'm like, ooh, is that bro marketing? I'm like, shit, that's something I might say. There's a lot of personal reflection that goes into, I really try not to be pain pointing, which is really hard to do in SEO marketing because there are some black and white things, right? There are some like do's and don'ts. And I really struggle with that. And I just recorded a podcast where I called something wrong and then I backtracked and I was like, I hate to say that it's wrong, but in this, the confines of this conversation, It is. So, well, like, I struggle with that.
I'm so sorry. I'm totally cutting off because I'm getting way too excited.
I love the excitement.
So let's talk about pain points, because when we lean into pain points and we bring in an element of shame, blame, guilt, that's when we are going astray, right? That's when we're using it to manipulate. If you believed in yourself, you would do this. You know, if you loved your kids, you would do this. You know what I mean? Like when we start to bring that kind of stuff in.
And mom.
Right? And friends, like you need to understand, when you look at any advertising or marketing, if you inside are feeling afraid, are feeling embarrassed, are feeling ashamed, are feeling guilty, you are being manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So hyper, if you are feeling pressured, yeah, listen to your body and you'll start to notice all the people that are out there using manipulation to get you to buy something. Speaking to pain points is important. This is why I talk about, what is the problem you solve? Communicate the problem that you solve, or communicate the desires, the things that people want. You do need to talk about that, because that's how you display to this person that you get it. And that is what you help with, right?
Yes.
But there's a difference. Like, I might say something like, I work with entrepreneurs who are damn good at what they do, but secretly don't know how to get clients. Okay. So I can talk to the pain point without saying, you're going broke and your business is going to fail if you don't learn how to do sales. Very different energy, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so just thinking about, you had a thought. I'm going to pause so you can share your thoughts.
No, I'm just thinking, like, it's such a subtle, like, it's not even a subtle line, but sometimes I'm like, this is something that I'm like, I almost need to like have like a crash course in, because I find myself like doubting. I'm like, and maybe if I'm doubting it, then it's probably leaning towards a yes. But it's something I've been very self and hyper aware of for, I don't know, almost the better part of the year now, because I'm like, well, you know, and I struggled in the beginning, like, you know, you got to tell people social media, their accounts could be gone tomorrow. And I'm like, I'm not going to tell people that. But then like in the last like month, I've known at least 10 people whose accounts have literally been deleted and gone. So it's like, it's this fine line of, you know what I mean? Like,
let's coach it out, Neil. Let's coach it out. Okay. Mm-hmm. So how have you been seeing it that's been giving you the ick?
Well, I haven't. So I used an example from a blogger that I follow. And she sent out an email to her list and says, hey guys, my Instagram account got deleted. So this is how we're going to communicate from now on. And she's like, unless it gets reinstated, which it didn't. And I shared, I didn't share who it was. I know. That's tough, right? She had 60,000 followers.
I've had many clients that's happened to, like literally like 65,000 people gone.
And it's crazy. It is something to think about. And I use that opportunity to say, hey, this is somebody I follow. I blacked out, you know, I didn't say who it was. And this is what happened. And I was like, this is a really good example of why having a hub for your content that's not social media is such a good idea. That didn't give me the ick. Other times when I've said it, like earlier on, but I was like, this probably won't happen. But if it did, all of your shit is on a website somewhere. And I shared the hack of, you can use Zapier. You can have all of your social media posts uploaded to a Google Drive on the regular with Zap. So like,
I didn't know that, and I'm writing that down.
Whoop, whoop. I mean, doesn't that one blow your mind? And I just use
SnapTik and things like that, like to pull my TikTok. Anyways, okay.
Yeah, so now we can all go into like a Google Drive folder. So if that were to happen, at the very least, you have the actual content, like the captions and shit, right? But I was like, this is a great opportunity. Like, this is an example of why I advocate for having a content hub and posting your stuff that's not on social media, because you don't own the platform. And so that one didn't make me ick, but afterwards I was like, well, is that too harsh? Like, but I thought, I don't know. I struggle with it, because I was just like, am I being too, like, is it still a scare tactic, even if it comes across as benevolent? I guess that's what I'm trying to come at. And I didn't, you know?
I do know. And I mean, there's so many times I will start writing a post or writing a blog, and I will all of a sudden catch myself ranting or ragging on something I very, very much disagree with in the way that people market to new entrepreneurs and sell them things they don't need or that won't work for them. Yeah. And I will get really heated. And I'm like, whoa, Linz, dial it back, dial it back. And what I do instead is I flip it into a positive, right? This mm-hmm. is my style. So for example, when Instagram and Facebook went down earlier this year, was that this year when it went down?
I think it was this time last year, 2021 in the fall.
Went to that, like, when it 24 was hours like, or whatever?
Yes.
A day or two? Yeah.
About a year ago.
Right? And so my time isn't real. Gosh, time. I stopped tracking time, you know. The other day, I think it was like July, and I woke up in a panic because I thought that I had missed Christmas. And I was like, it's the summer. Anyway.
It's a concept. Yeah.
It's all fake. But what I put out was a blog on three ways to build your business without using social media, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so yep. Again, consumers are smart. We are smart. We are paying attention. We know. I don't have to be like, yo, social media is not smart. Don't build your business there, right? It's mm-hmm. like, here's three ways to build it without social media. And so you're able to talk to the problem or talk to the solution without sensationalizing what's scary mm-hmm. about it or what's wrong about it. And so for yourself, for folks out there listening, if you feel like, ooh, this is maybe a bit icky, maybe I am sensationalizing this and I'm leaning into fear, I'm leaning into pain mm-hmm. and manipulation, how can I assume that my consumer, my reader, my audience is smart?
Yeah.
And I can, you know, say, here's an alternative, right? Mm-hmm. So provide a solution. Don't talk about, you need to mention the problem, but don't focus on the problem. Provide a solution.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I mean, it's the transformation too. Like, I'm doing a workshop on like three ways to expand your visibility off of social media, you know, and trying to be like, hey, because I think social media is amazing. And so that's where I, you know, it's fucking amazing. People have, I've made connections that never would have happened ever. Yep. Hello. Like this conversation right now. So I think it's an incredibly valuable tool. And I think I get frustrated because sometimes it's an oversold tool.
Yes.
And that's where I can get a little bit heated and be like, but, and you know, you've been in the space a long time. I've been this like 15 years of digital marketing. And I'm like, let me, you know, they're like, oh, you're old. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, but I do, you know, and I get frustrated because I'm like, there are some tried and true tactics that even with like, you know, the evolution of TikTok and all of that shit that still work. And to your points, they all really come back to relationship marketing. Your email list, even SEO, like I take a really different stance on SEO and I really focus hard on it being the bridge that sort of gaps, you know, your user that has a desire or a need. Or needs a solution and what you can do to provide and all of that content that sort of bridges the gap. That's how I approach SEO. Yes, there's the technical side of it, and all that shit we'll talk about too, but really it's about connections. SEO can be a connector. And I don't think people look at it that way because they're like, oh, well, that web dev guy told me it's really hard. I'm like, guess what? It's not. So like, you know, it can be used as a connection tool. And so I really go hard on that because I think it's so important. But this is where I sometimes get frustrated because I'm like, social media is amazing, but let me tell you about the other things that are amazing too, that you can access, like YouTube and podcasting, all these things. So I love that way of flipping the script and being like, we're going to assume that you know that this shit can happen. You've seen it. Probably one of your business friends has lost an account, maybe temporarily or permanently. So I like that a lot. I think that's a really, really positive way of spinning it that takes out the ick.
100%. Exactly. Focus on the solution. I love that. And I love that you, like you said, you teach, like you just nailed it right there. We wouldn't have connected if not for social media. And I think if folks can, one of the things that I see so much, like you said, social media is oversold. And there are some businesses who do really well on social media. For service-based businesses, creating post after post after post is not generally how you're going to get your clients and build your business. Mm-hmm. And I want folks to think, it's like, here's a quick little strategy tip, right? Use social media to connect with the right people, right? And then start getting into other people's audiences, right? Mm-hmm. That are aligned. Start building relationships with kick-ass, like, business besties that will become business besties, right? And think of the posts that you create nurturing your existing audience, right? Your posts generally aren't going to attract new people as much as going to nurture your existing audience. You have to get into those DMs. You have to make those connections and get outside your own audience, right? Social media is phenomenal for connecting with so many great people you would never otherwise know exist. So don't be afraid to reach out and say, hi, I'm Lindsay, you know, reach out.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. I think for people like us, and I'm speaking for myself here, you know, I have a background in marketing. That's been pretty much my entire career. So since 2009, I've been doing this in some capacity, paid search, social, with a strong emphasis on SEO. And I've been in different corporate capacities and worked with different types of businesses. So I think when you have that background, you understand that there are different pillars and components that go into that one sale. And I think for people who have come from other industries and maybe they're starting a business and don't have a strong, like, I hate to say like business acumen, but they haven't been, you know, maybe they were teachers or they were doing other things. So I think that that's where that oversold piece comes in, because it's easy to prey on somebody like that and be like, this is all you need. But guess fucking what? Guess what that person is doing? They have an email list. They're putting shit on YouTube. I bet they're probably blogging or have some other, or podcasting. They have some other form of legacy content, that I like to call it, that they're using to connect. And so I think, and an email list 100%. And I think that that's where I get frustrated, because I'm like, you are being sold a pipe dream here that is not going to happen, because yes, you can use this and reach out to people and you'll probably make some money off of this platform. But to really create expansiveness, you're going to need different facets of your business to like all work together in a way that works for you and feels aligned. And I don't think that gets talked about enough, because it sounds overwhelming as fuck. By the way, starting out in business, you're going to need a website probably, and you're going to need an email platform, and you're going to think about what you should need email and blah, blah, blah. And nobody fucking wants to hear that at the beginning. They want to be told you can go on Instagram and make $10,000 this month. And that's where I get really like, you know, I get really riled up, because I'm like, you can make so much fucking money. Yes, you can. It's there. Like you said, there's money for everybody to make. But let's take a step back and think about what actually goes into it. And I, you know, they're selling the dream. And
this is what's happening. Yeah. Again, and I love how fired up you're getting right now, because I am the same. And anybody that I talk to who has been in entrepreneurship, and especially is in any form of marketing or sales, we will all say the exact same thing, that y'all are being sold a dream and you're being preyed on, and you're getting sold the most basic information that for anybody who's new, it's going to blow your mind. Mm-hmm. But it's generally basic, generalized information that is a template that they are telling you to apply to every business, and every business model is a little bit different. Everyone's audience is a little bit different. They're found in different places. They relate to different things, right? They write like your own personality and capacity, right? And so there is a way to use social media, to use SEO content like YouTube, blog, podcast, right? Your website, your public speaking. I teach a lot of public speaking strategy, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many tools in the entrepreneurial toolbox to build your business. You A, don't have to use all of them, and B, need to know which one to use for your business and your audience and yourself. And C, anybody that's promising to give you a template strategy to follow and gives it to the exact same, every single person that signs up the exact same thing, it's probably not going to work for like 95% of the people that purchase it. I even remember, I'm getting heated. I remember seeing somebody's like promoting, again, it was like a social media course. And I'm like, let me check out what this is all about. And I went through their webinar funnel, and she literally said, this may not work for you, but it worked for me, so give it a try. And we're getting a lot of that. A lot of people who have a very specific specialty, who found something that works for them, and then they flip it into a course and say, go do this. But it might not. And you can hear, friends, the tension in my voice. I've been doing this so long, and I get so fired up at baby entrepreneurs who get sold into these $1,000 programs, and they will never work for you. Or they're teaching you the build it and they will come method, or they're not bringing in the nuance that you need to help you understand. You know, as an entrepreneur in your first 3 years, your job is to get to know your market inside and out. Who are they? What are they struggling with? What do they want? What will encourage them to make a purchase? What will turn them off, right? When I do a lot of copywriting and teach copywriting hacks with folks I work with, and they're always like when people go to my website, when people read my content, they're like, you are literally speaking exactly to me. This is exactly what I deal with. I'm like, yes, I know. I know, because I've been working with y'all for so long. And that's what everyone on this podcast needs to hear. You need to be able to write and communicate and create content that people go, well, that's me. And you can go, yeah, I know, because I know you.
Yep, exactly. I love that. That it's so, so true. And I think we could have a whole separate podcast just talking about this one topic, about the template, the dream, the build it and they will come. I see a lot of people who were able to get successful on social media, and maybe they had a connection to somebody who is, an influencer, and they put their name out and that built it. And it's not that they don't know what they're doing or they're not good at it. It's just they've only ever done it for themselves.
Yeah.
You do not get to call yourself, and you might disagree with this, and that's okay. You're not an expert, or you're not what you're saying that you are, because you did it one time. And that really pisses me the fuck off, because there are a lot of us who've been doing this a long time. And I've done it back and forth with somebody because we were talking about the use of the word expert, and somebody had typed in something and they couldn't find what they wanted. Then they attached the word expert to it and they found exactly the person they were looking for. And this woman was like, women don't need to use the word expert to describe themselves and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, actually, you know what? I'm going to actually use that word. And it was an interesting back and forth. Her perspective was interesting. And I'm like, but I am an expert. And I'm not just saying that so you're going to work with me. I actually know what the fuck I'm doing. Yes. And so there's a lot of people who have done it for themselves, who are successful on social media, and are now selling that to other people.
Yes.
And it's just
Yes.
And it drives me bonkers.
Nina, how many people that I know that call themselves a business coach that haven't broken even 50K in their own business?
Yes. That's a whole, it's just what the fuck, and it's really hard because I am not going to call you out in stories and shit, but I want to.
No, hell no. Buyer beware.
Buyer beware. Exactly. And I think, and it's tough because there's some people and I'm like, gosh, I bet you actually are really good at this, but if you've done it for yourself and that's it, it doesn't count. It
doesn't count. Really. Yeah.
And I know that's harsh, but it doesn't. And I think this is something else too, I've just seen a lot of, and this is completely not related to this, but there was an article in The Atlantic by a TikTok influencer about how, I don't know how old you are, I'm 40, but I'm too 42. Old to use the internet. Yes.
I'm too you old and I to both, baby faces, now. Baby faces.
I love it, yes. I'm it was basically how we're too old to use the internet now and we're aging out of the internet.
Oh my God, I saw that whole thing on TikTok with, first of all.
Are we
gatekeeping the internet now? Is that what's happening?
Exactly. I thought of that because it's kind of goes back to, right? This whole expertise thing and things like that. And I've seen a lot of people push back because they're like, well, you almost, gatekeeping and ageism and things like that, which is a whole separate conversation, but it made me think of it. So
it is exactly.
No, I could talk to you all day. So let's wrap it up. And I want to hear a little bit. So you've brought so many amazing ideas, concepts, and you have so much to offer. Tell us a little bit, because I know people are going to ask me, how can people work with you? What do you have coming up next that you're really excited about? I heard you talk about a couple of things. So tell me about them.
Oh, so many things. Okay. So first and foremost, friends, I'm going to say on the first and third Thursday of the month, I go on YouTube and I host business coaching and co-working sessions for 2 hours from 9 until 11 a.m. Pacific. We use the Pomodoro technique. We get shit done. And then I answer your business questions or I bring topics I want to talk about. So first and foremost, come and follow me on YouTube, The Radical Connector, and start coming to those on the first and third Thursday. All right. The next thing is I have a 10-week accelerator that I mentioned, and that's where I teach marketing and sales skills. It's a set process that I have been, perfecting over the last 20 years. And we do focus a lot on digital marketing. So all the things we talked about, but custom strategies, how to use it strategically. Mm-hmm. And then I really focus on helping folks get to their first 100K in 1 hour a day. How can we be working less, right? Working effectively and efficiently and way, way, way less. And so how do you do an hour a day of your revenue generating activities to get to that 100K? So that's what we really focus on. So my next one starts January 26th. If you want to learn about it, come on over to my website, theradicalconnector.com. And then of course, I do also VIP days and hourly coaching and stuff, but really the accelerator is where the magic really, really happens. So
it sounds amazing. Check that out.
Yeah. And perfect. Then come follow me on Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Amazing. So we're going to put all the links to all of this amazing goodness in the show notes, so you will have them. I'm going to come and check you out on YouTube. This sounds amazing.
Yes.
Like business coaching and just working through topics and things like that. I will be there. So please come and join, because that just sounds fucking phenomenal. And I love that. And that, again, impact over income goes right back into that, right? So people get to see you in action and things that you're doing. Amazing. So, okay, we're going to wrap this up. But one question that I've been asking people lately on the podcast, and I'll keep it short. What is the best piece of business advice that you have ever gotten?
Don't worry about cleaning the house. Just get to work. I was at a point where I was my business was really gelling and just taking off, and I was so busy and I was so exhausted and I was stressing about my house being clean. And the business coach I was working with at that time was like, it's fine. Let it be messy.
Just keep going. I love that one. I think that can be applied to so many things. Yep. Yeah. There will be time to clean. There will be time for other things, but focus on what you want to focus on. I love it. All right, Lindsay, this was amazing. Thank you so much. Yes. All right.
Thank you so much. And
yes, it was awesome.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Elevated Visibility Podcast. If you loved it and you want to support the podcast, please share it with others, your family, friends, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. I would appreciate it so, so much. Catch all the latest from me. You can follow me on Instagram at ninagibson.co. Until next time.